Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Orlando shooter was clearly motivated by his commitment to Islamic ideology. The President of the United States and the Attorney General want to seem to avoid that. We're going to be talking about this issue with Holly Mead, the Director of Communications for Liberty Counsel, and our very special guest, Kamal Saleem. Kamal is the author of the book, Blood of the Lambs, and he is one who is not a stranger to Islam or terrorism. In fact, he at one time engaged in Islamic jihad. Serious Islamic jihad, and it's all cataloged in his book, Blood of the Lambs. But it also is cataloged how he gave his life to Jesus Christ and is now a speaker here in the United States trying to give information to people about the threat of Islam and Islamic jihad. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Kamal.
Thank you, Brother Matt. It's awesome being with you, and thank you for having me.
Well, Kamal, the shooter in Orlando clearly stated in the 911 tapes, and by the way, they've only released so far one of the 911 tapes, and there's multiple 911 tapes. There's multiple conversations between Omar Mateen and the FBI and the police, as well as others. But even in the one tape that was released, the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, was at one time going to censor out his pledge to ISIS. And then because of the pressure, she ultimately allowed that to be transcribed. But one of the things that she did censor out, she translated, and they put in brackets that he was saying this in Arabic, but everyone knows what he was saying in Arabic. He wasn't using the generic God. He was using the name Allah. Why is that significant?
The Muslim believe and understand that Allah, the God of Islam, and Jehovah God are two different gods because the Jews and the Christians perverted their faith and their religion. So the only true God is Allah, and his deity and loyalty is, you know, that he sent his messenger, Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. So there's only one direction to this. And then there's a way to engage Allah, and that is to offer sacrifice of praise or sacrifice of life, you know, and in order to please Allah. When we look at this, the Quran, in the first book, the first surah that was sent to Muhammad, you know, it's called Al-Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. It says it's the best time of the Muslim life. It's better than anything else, the month of Ramadan. It's the best of the best. Why? Because this is where Allah sent his angel. And he sent his spirits. This is an inhabitation to the Muslim world. So therefore, what happened is, when the Muslim engaged, he is totally engaged with Allah, and there's a gateway right now, open heaven in understanding, that the Muslim are encountering those spirits in their lives. So therefore, when he pledged this, he was pledging to Allah, the one who sent the book in the first time, that is the Quran.
Now, when you were in the Islamic faith and you literally were trained from, I think, what, 7 years of age to commit terrorism, and you were actually trained in the sense of at 7 or so years of age, you were crawling on your stomach with live fire whizzing over your head. One of your colleagues of the same age got scared and lifted up his head, and his head was blown off by one of the live rounds. So you were in that arena. You committed terroristic acts in Lebanon. You sought to commit terroristic acts against the Jews and so forth. Some people have the question, and it's often debated about, are these people that are committing these terroristic acts that call upon Allah, are they motivated because they're disenfranchised, they don't have good opportunities, they need more business opportunities, work opportunities, education opportunities, it's just political, or are they motivated because of the teachings within Islam and particularly within the Quran? In your situation, what motivated you?
Well, it is, number one, I didn't have, you know, a family, you know, culture to bring me in. We had 14 brothers and sisters in our home, and my dad didn't have time for me. I started working at 7 years old. the Muslim Brotherhood brought me in, you know, as I was recruited by them in the mosque at 7 years old. The first thing they were teaching me about the beauty about Islam, but the next thing they were teaching me about the radical Islam and the principles of Islam and what's the duty of a Muslim and how to die for the sake of Allah, to offer his life as a sacrifice for Allah. So therefore, what happened is all these were part of the teaching. So it's a love story. You fall in love with a God, and then the Quran, 64 verses in the Quran, tells you specifically, you know, to kill for, you know, to go into jihad. You know, these are commandments. And when you look at Sharia law, 164 verses altogether, you know, the percentage over there, the commandment, 60% is to involve in jihad and die for the sake of Allah. We need to understand that, you know, there is a duality to Islam. When Islam was in Mecca, it was very peaceful.
Now, Mecca was the first phase, if you will, if you're going to divide Muhammad's life into two. That would be the first part of his life.
Correct. And that is when he was peaceful and when he lived among his tribes, the Quraysh tribes. But then when he moved to Medina, what happened is he found the radical Islam. You know, it is the perspective that he need to go with by that time. You know, if you look at the differentiation between the two, Mecca and Medina, Allah spoke there and he said, I have abrogated, I have replaced everything that I have given you in Mecca by something greater in Medina. Muhammad, in his 10 years, he only had a little over 100 people following him. Now he is recruiting thousands of people, you know, monthly, you know, and it became, you know, rules of war and what so have you.
So in the first part of his life, Mecca, he was focused more peacefully. And was that not the time where he was trying to bring Jews and Christians into Islam, and then eventually they rejected that and he got run out of Mecca, so therefore he moves to Medina, at which time he commits more radical acts, including kidnapping and terror in order to finance his jihad? Is that the sequence?
Yes, it is. You're absolutely right. What happened at the beginning is he went to the Jews and he said, I'm your final prophet. You know, and if you believe in me, you know, you believe in Allah, you believe in me and believe in Allah, what happened? All will be, you know, good for you and what so have you. And the Jewish people said to him, we have a God and we have our prophet and we don't believe you are one. And he went to the Christian people and he spoke to them about, he said, if you believe in me and believe that Jesus Christ was not crucified, and he did not, you know, he did not die, and what so have you, I will be, you know, you can follow me. And they said to him, nay, we cannot do this either. So therefore, what happened is when he left Mecca, and he raised a war specifically against the Jews and the Christians to cleanse the middle, you know, that middle, you know, of Saudi, the whole world from the Jewish and Christian people. And this is when he became warlord. He went from prophet to warlord. And now he made a promise to all that follow him, those who died for his sake, for his name, and for the sake of Allah. Then they have prices. They have a glory in paradise and heaven and what so have you. So it was a recruitment and it was a job and it was, you know, a way of life. And he got them engaged from their childhood over there, that they became warriors when they became older.
And one of the things, is it not true that what Muhammad says later supersedes what he says earlier? So his teachings in Medina, the warrior side of Muhammad, coming later superseded anything that came earlier in Mecca.
Absolutely. You know, in the Quran, in the abrogation, in the book, it says, you know, everything that Allah does, speaking to Muhammad and to the Muslims, he said, everything I'm giving you today will supersede everything I've given you before. I'm replacing it. I have changed my mind. And what I'm going to give you now will be better for you than what I've given you before. So when you look at the Quran and you look at the peaceful surah at the beginning, you know, like, you know, the books in the Quran, they were very peaceful. But what happened is now Allah started bringing radical surah to Muhammad, which is surah number 7, surah number 9. These were the last two books, you know, in the Quran that Allah gave. And that is holy war against all non-believers, but specifically the Christian and the Jews, to destroy them ultimately.
This is just the beginning, isn't it?
Yes, this is the beginning of all things right now. Yeah, this is going to accelerate the new level we have not seen.
I encourage you to get the book Blood of the Lambs. I also encourage you to have Kamal Saleem as a speaker in your church. And he has a message that America needs to hear. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Become an active partner with Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation.